Hey folks, Dan with Holy Spirit Soapbox once again. I want to thank you for being here. I did want to first mention that there are a couple updates with our website. This sounds like a business. I never want to be a business, and it's not. But I wanted to give you all the updates. The first thing is, we have another free resource for those that are in need, especially the elderly, something called Meals on Wheels. So if you're interested, in, I think it's only in the U.S. for now, but if you're interested and you're eligible, you might be able to get some Meals on Wheels where they deliver meals directly to you. So that's the first thing. The second thing is we updated our chat. Now, our chat literally comes directly to me and Stacy. So when you get a response, it's either me or it's Stacy. And the chat was updated this time around to give you the opportunity to ask questions. Now, I know that if you're either a baby Christian, you're brand new to this, or even if you're just, you've been a Christian for a long time, or maybe you've been stuck in some kind of religion, like a legalism type of religion for years, and you're just getting out of it, and you're just starting to be like, I really want a relationship with Jesus, you're going to have questions. I still have questions. I've been in this for a long time. I've given my life to Christ a long time ago. I got rebaptized, and then I've just been studying and trying to get close to Christ, and I have so many questions all the time. We wanted to give everybody the opportunity, though, to reach out and then let's either talk together about questions you might have about Jesus Christ, or if you have these generalized questions where we might be able to do an episode on them. So we wanted to give that opportunity. So the chat feature and function just updated a little bit, but we want that to be used for asking questions about Christianity. We have received some awesome questions over the past year and a half that we've been doing this. We've gotten some great feedback lately that we really, really appreciate on different platforms. So we thank you for doing all that. We've got some prayer requests. Keep continuing to send those in if you have them. And y'all, we love you and we appreciate this. I never thought we'd be here a year and a half later saying that we have people all over the world that are just listening in and continuously and love the podcast. But we love Christ and we love you guys and we love doing this for you. So we're going to continue to do it until God tells us not to anymore. That's been our little motto lately. So please continue to reach out, continue to pray for Holy Spirit Soapbox, and continue to spread the gospel, most importantly. Now, we're going to get into something very interesting, and I hope it doesn't offend people today, because again, this affected me, and when we get into this, it's going to become a whole lot clearer to you. But I have been chatting with many folks that are in the church. They're part of the body of Christ. They are Christ followers. They've been baptized, or they just began to love Christ and they want to get that relationship with Christ. And from several people, I've heard some of the same consistent issues that have really affected them. There were two things that just consistently popped up. Number one, they felt like they kept falling back into the same sin. And they knew it was the same sin. They knew it's a sin, or they know it's a sin, and they continuously fall back into that same sin, almost like habitually. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, maybe this is even correlated with that sin, but they still didn't feel fully satisfied in Christ. They've given their lives up to Christ. Again, they've gotten rebaptized or baptized, and they still don't feel satisfied in Christ. So those are the two things I keep hearing. I don't know if that's the same for all of you guys. I sometimes fall into the same sins. I do actually fall into the same sin here and there. And yeah, sometimes I don't feel fully satisfied as well. And I wondered about this. I wondered about this because I'm like, why is it that we Christians do that? And I prayed about it because these are the feelings that just really tear us down. They really stink. They stink having to go through these things. And a couple of times when I felt this way, I would essentially retrace my steps and try to understand what was holding me back. And there's something that I found out because God gave me the wisdom to, I guess, reveal it to me in my relationship with him. I realized a trend. Now, I remember being in school, high school and college primarily, and I probably retained a quarter of what was taught, not even of what was taught to me. I couldn't sit still. I couldn't pay attention. I didn't like school. I cared more about the social aspect and being friends and, you know, girls at the time and all those things. I didn't really care about school, but for some reason, somehow, in one of my classes, we learned about calculating with like computer logic and also in accounting. And this term GIGO, G-I-G-O, or GIGO, G-I-G-O is the acronym, came into play. And it stuck with me for years, to this day. I haven't been in high school for a very long time, people. And it still is stuck in my head. G-I-G-O, or GIGO, or GIGO, however you want to pronounce it, is garbage in, garbage out. G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out. Now, it's pretty self-explanatory, but if you don't know, it's basically stating that whatever you input into an equation, or into computer logic, or at the beginning of like accounting, the results will yield from that. So for instance, let's just say we're doing a long drawn out algebra equation. And man, do I not like math. I don't like using the word hate, but I do not like math. I'm not good at it. And if you are good at it, good for you. I'm glad God gave you that gift. And I'm happy for you, because then you could do the math for me, okay? And thank you, God, for giving us math so we can understand more things. But I do not like it. Okay, sorry. I went off on a tangent here. If you're calculating this long, drawn-out algebra equation, let's say, okay, you might get this incorrect answer because of one little input at the beginning or somewhere in the middle of this huge, long, drawn-out equation. And it can really throw something off. Like, let's pretend you put like a 5 instead of a 0.5 somewhere. Or there's a fraction here or something else that's like thrown in the middle. There's a 3 instead of a 2, and it just throws everything off, and it gets so aggravating. So aggravating. And it makes you wonder, like, where did I go wrong? What did I do wrong? You have to trace your steps back. You got to be like, where did I? Okay, is this right? And it stinks. It could take you like 30 minutes to do this equation. And in the end, you get the wrong answer. Annoying. The Spirit put it on my heart when I was praying to God, when I was like, hey, why do I keep doing the same sin? Why did I hurt you again, God? Why did I hurt myself again? Why did I fall for that again? Why did I fall into temptation? Why did I hurt my wife or my kids or my parents or my church friends, etc.? Why did I do this again? And he put it on my heart that the human body is the same way as these drawn out equations in mathematics. What I was inputting or ingesting or taking in was affecting what was coming out. It affected my insides so much that it also reflected outwardly. And I'm not just talking about food here. I'm not only talking about food and drinks here. I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about what I was watching or listening to or reading. And yes, of course, eating and drinking as well. I found that whenever I would seek satisfaction from shows or other things of the world, you know, it sat well for a little bit, but I just ended up not feeling great after a while. And I also realized that when I would listen to things like more secular music or something that specifically would talk about self-gain or selfishness or self-centeredness, I would want to do the same thing. Or if I watched TV shows about having this quote-unquote power, I had all this power to control people, control things, it might lead me to think about having more power or wanting more power. Or conversations about money and business only made me think about money and business. Now, all of these things are not inherently bad. I mean, every single one of these things are tools that can be used to spread the gospel. And money is a great example of that. We hear of a lot of people having a lot of money that give to charitable causes to spread the gospel of Christ. Or build things. Or give to others. Or give all of it to a church or something. That's great. We can use those things. I've met many people in business. I've met Christ followers that are in my line of work that actually work with me at my company. And we can do that, and we can talk to each other, and we can enjoy Christ together. There's nothing wrong with these things. But if they cause us to sin or cause us to forget God and forget why we're actually put here on earth, not to make money and not just do business, but to use the resources we have to spread the gospel of Christ, then maybe we need to reevaluate what we take in, or maybe limit what we take in. When we were not put here on earth to make as much money as possible. That was never the thing. That was not what God intended. We were not put here on earth to just do business. We can do business, that's totally fine, but not to just do business and expand business but forget God. That was not the point. Now, am I going to say you should stop listening to certain music or watch certain movies or stop doing business or stop making money? No. No, I'm not here to dictate other people's lives. That's not a goal of mine. I don't think we should stop these things, actually, because we're in the world. We're in the world. We're not of the world, but we are in the world. And these things exist in the world. Some of these things are really interesting, to be honest. I'm a huge history buff. I love history. And not everything in history pertains to the Bible. Okay, especially recent history. In a sense, yes, they can be translated back to certain points in the Bible, certain stories that we can relate them to. But specific things, like world wars, those are never meant to happen, but they happened. Because of selfishness, they happened. But I like to learn about these things, even if they're not family friendly. But I do try to center whatever it is that I'm indulging in on Jesus. If I'm indulging in history, I want to see, like, okay, how does Jesus kind of tie in here? How does the Bible tie in here? And I highly suggest that. Keeping Jesus at the core of everything is a way that we can help ourselves not fall into temptations of worldly things. We just talked about hobbies. Hobbies are great. Hobbies are fun. But if we can center that and focus that on Jesus, that hobby, fantastic. That's great. Let's spread the gospel of Christ. Music, TV, same thing. They're all a part of our lives now, especially here in the U.S. Okay, maybe not in your neck of the woods, but right now you're listening to a podcast, meaning you probably have internet in some form. So you're able to gain access to that. You have access to a lot of things if you have internet. It's just a part of our lives now. But the focus here is that we can't allow these things to be our primary source of joy or things that alter how we follow Christ, or things that alter our feelings in general and tear us away from Christ. That is what I'm saying here. If you have cool hobbies that you like to do, center it around Christ. That's the best way to do it. I'm not saying to stop things just because they're not specifically about Jesus. But we really have to look at what we ingest. Look at what we take in. So I have a couple verses to meditate on. So let's start in John chapter 6, verse 35. And this is in the description if you want to go back to it. If you don't have your Bible right now, if you're just listening and you're driving, please stay safe. I'll read to you and then we're going to talk about it really quickly. But the first thing is John chapter 6, verse 35. And it says this, "And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Now, food is a common theme in the Bible for those that are clean or unclean. From way back in Leviticus, which talks about what the Hebrews can and can't eat, all the way into the New Testament of what kind of bread Jesus is. Because they didn't have things like Netflix or cell phones or other things like that, this is one of the ways, aside from keeping away from the animals that can make them sick, that the Hebrews know that sometimes taking in these unclean things will make them defiled in their hearts and their way of thinking. And then that translates to their actions. So when we take in Jesus, when we ingest that word all the time, we guard ourselves from defilement with the armor of God. This next verse is from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. And it says this, "Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." The old leaven that we're talking about, and here we're going to go into this a little bit more in an upcoming episode. The old leaven, This is the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the ones that were false prophets, creating these laws for people, creating all these things and condemning them from doing certain things, or if they did certain things, and marking them as unclean, even though they were man-made or traditional type of laws. He's saying here, this is Paul speaking, he says, "Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, which is of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and also of the world, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Again, we're going to go more into what leaven and unleaven is in a different episode, but I just wanted to fill you with that and then let you digest it, all these puns right now. And then finally, John chapter 6, 53 to 57 says this. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at that last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me.'" We should consistently abide in Jesus. And how do we abide in Jesus? He just said, by eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Not literally, of course, right? Because I don't have a cup of Jesus' blood, nor do I have his flesh, nor do I want to actually ingest that physically. That's really gross. He's not saying that here. And this is not only the Eucharist or not only communion that he's talking about. He's talking about always. Always. Because we can take the Eucharist once a week at church and then just go right back to being the same old Dan tomorrow on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever day that you don't go to church. He's not just talking about communion. He's not just talking about the Eucharist. He's talking about my flesh always. Every time you live, you breathe, everything you do, ingest me, ingest my word. Remember me. Remember that I died for you. Remember the gospel. And I will abide in you if you accept me as your Lord and Savior. And I will abide in you and you and me, and we will just be continuously moving forward for the will of God. And this is forever, mind you. Eternally, we will continuously abide in each other. So let's continue to do that, right? Let's keep taking in the word. Let's keep taking in Jesus and put him at the center of our lives. Put him at the core of our lives. And let's be aware of what we ingest. Let's be aware of what we ingest. If you keep falling back in the same sin, or if you don't feel fully satisfied in Christ, you have to pray to God. You have to. Because those two things are very dangerous. And we have to really understand why that is happening to us. What are we ingesting or not ingesting? If we're not ingesting the word, if we're not taking in the word consistently every day and every night, we have to kind of maybe reevaluate. Okay, so I have three questions for you. Here's question number one. Are there some ways that you are affected by things like music, movies, shows, etc.? That's question number one. Question number two. How can some things that you ingest or take in affect how you reflect Jesus? Maybe you're not affected right now, but how can some things possibly affect how you reflect Jesus or reflect yourself outwardly? And then finally, what are some ways you can fill more of your life with Jesus? I appreciate every single one of you, as I always do. Please spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to somebody today. You never know how you'll affect them. Please spread Holy Spirit Soapbox if you can. And please, if you can also, rate us on your favorite podcast app. Feel free to rate us. Feel free to comment. Like I said, use the chat function. I want to pray over everybody and just close us out here. So take your prayer posture if you like, if it's safe to do so, and I would love to talk to God with you right now. Our Father, we thank you always for showing us who we are and giving us your word to ingest and digest every day of our lives. You are the ultimate guide and the Lord of Lords who cares about every single one of his children. And Father, we pray that we are forgiven when we fall away from wanting to orient ourselves towards you and orient ourselves towards another guide or image. We ask that we were forgiven for those things because we do this often. And we ask that the things of this world don't hold us back from loving you and from following you. We pray that you can change us and transform us to be moved by your Spirit so that we can overflow your love to all. And we pray all this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.